John.
I'm John.
And I'm Mike, and you almost got your name wrong again.
Oh.
Would have been a hat trick.
We must be on our fourth beer of the month. Not the day. No, that's not how we do things. What's your beer then, John?
I am drinking the Honey Thief from Williams Brothers. Yeah, he's not best pleased. From Williams Brothers Brewing Company, produce of Scotland.
Champion.
Micro-brewed for maximum flavour.
Maximum flavour.
Maximum.
I've got one from the Lake District, Watermill Inn and Brewing Company. They have a bit of a shtick where all of their beers have got pictures of dogs on them and have dog-themed names. This is Dogth Vader, a dark and powerful beer. I've not tried it yet, so give us a sec. Yeah, very well done, Watermill Inn. You've got a crazy little gimmick there. But also do very good beer, so all is good. Now, we've got a slightly special little thing that we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we've had planned for a bit, but we were waiting until we had a guest. And wait a minute, we've got a guest!
Oh my God, double take lols!
Hello, it's me again.
Hello.
They won't let me go. If you can hear this, please come and help.
We've trapped him in the bog.
which is not that difficult to do around here.
Last week I trapped Mike in the toilet. This time I've trapped everybody in the house.
Yeah, I'm used to it, you know. I just live in the basement, so, you know, just get let out.
It's amazing, though, Gary, because I haven't got a basement. He's dug one.
Yeah. It's good. All right, so I live under your washing machine. That's basically it. What we're doing is, a little while ago, I asked my Facebook friends to suggest a list of questions, music-based questions, that would be fun to ask. That you can hear the hat full of an actual hat full of questions there on paper. That's what I was cutting out last episode. I told you it would actually be explained, didn't
it's
I?
Taking him a
Do
fucking,
you think I was lying?
It's taking him a fucking week.
Yes, a whole week. God, I only had one beer to get me through it as well. those are all cut out. They're all in the hat. There's a lot of quite sensible questions, and some quite deep questions, and some very, very silly ones.
Yes.
So, but they've all been randomised, and they're going to be pulled out of the hat by our special guests, Gary.
I'm the one that's been nominated to delve into your...
Into the chapeau, and to read out the questions at random.
But, Mike, is there an extra condition to this
quiz? Oh, God! Yes, there is! What we're going to be doing to make things twice as difficult, at least twice as difficult, is we'll be playing a little game to distract us. And the game we'll be playing is Surgeon Simulator. Surgeon Simulator 2013. And specifically, we'll be doing the heart transplant. So while Gary reads out questions to me. Are we going first? Or are we going second? I'll be trying to remove and replace someone's heart, going in through the ribs and basically tearing the poor fucker to pieces. So what? This is just loading up now. Okay, once I get the sheet off the top, if you, I completely forgot how to play this on a PS4. Actually, there we go.
Okay, so.
Okay, well, let me get the sheet off the top of him. That's it.
You seem to be waving at the the transplant.
I just say goodbye to the poor bastard. I'm used to playing this on a PC, so I'm going to be a bit shonky with the controls. Come on, there we go. All right, let's hit me with the first question.
Okay, right. So, are you suitably distracted? Do we think?
Definitely.
Okay, so here we go then. Question number one. Someone at a funeral service is listening to his iPod and unwittingly interrupts proceedings by singing along at the top of his lungs. What's the worst song that he could sing?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, no! I'm sorry, I've just lost my soul. I would say, possibly. I'm talking about Sean Paul. I think it would be quite Sean Paul. not Sean Paul. Let's go with Who Let the Dogs Out? Well, that could probably be worse at a wedding, I think.
More questions.
I'm still distracted. I'm using a drill to remove a guy's ribcage.
What was the precise moment a long-running band jumped the shark and never released anything worthwhile again?
Oh, now, I see. I'm quite bitter about Manic Street Preachers. So I'm going to say that Everything Must Go was probably the last thing they released that was had anything that was any bloody good on it. And I've remained quite cynical about their output since, so I'm going to go with that.
Right, okay, another question. It doesn't seem to be going all that well, as far as I can tell. I mean, I've never seen a heart transplant performed with a drill before.
He's not yet bleeding out, but let's give it time.
I've never seen somebody with a pencil in their ribcage during an operation.
Oh, yeah, but you're going to see a lot worse. I've already dropped the best thing to remove the ribcage, so anyway.
Which is the greatest rock band ever, and why is it Queen?
That question was delivered to us by Alice Evans, so hi Alice. I can see why she chose Queen, because Freddie Mercury, Jesus Christ, he was a hell of... Oh shit, I lost my drill. Freddie Mercury was a hell of a frontman. You can't really deny his greatness. But, oh God! Ah! I've got a hammer stuck in me watch! what I quite admire actually about Queen, if we're just going to accept the fact that they're the greatest rock band, I don't see why we shouldn't, was the fact that they would really, really muck about with what they thought they could get away with as far as kind of popular music went. I mean, they made this wonderful, huge 6-minute song and passed it off as a pop song. You know, they Bohemian Rhapsody is ludicrous. I mean, who would get away with that these days? So there it is. That is why Queen are the best rock band ever. Thanks, Alice.
Yeah, good question. I think you concentrated so hard on the question there that you neglected to notice that you're cutting into your own hand.
Yeah. Fortunately, I think the disembodied hand that is my doctor is actually immortal, so I should be all right. Let's have another question.
Okay. Wild horses come galloping over a hill. The camera swings up as a helicopter thunders into view. What's playing?
Well, let's be honest. There's only one answer. It's a cliche, but it has to be Ride of the Valkyries. if there's any kind of helicopter hoving into view and you're not playing Ride of the Valkyries, I think you're just wasting an opportunity.
Right, Stand and Deliver by Adam and the Ant.
I'm going to allow it.
Next one. What's she going to look like with a chimney on her?
Probably like Thomas the Tank Engine, but... apparently, I seem to remember from the time that the phrase "what's she gonna look like with a chimney on her" means what's she gonna look like with a black eye. Apparently, that's what it means. It baffled me at the time. Like, why is someone trying to put a chimney on a woman?
Cheryl Tweedy is probably the best person to answer this question.
Oh, well, that was topical several years ago, John.
It was, yes.
Probably about the time I got locked in the toilet.
I've been waiting fucking years.
Oof, the rib cage has been released.
Hey!
But there's still some ribs that need some
God, he's in. Next, do you want another question?
Let's have another question.
That's because you seem suitably distracted.
He's not dead yet.
And I'm noticing a theme in these questions.
No!
One of your fingers has gone there. Bearing in mind that love would be required in exchange, what would you have Meatloaf do?
Well, first of all, I think I'd see if he would do that. But I doubt he would. I think he'd be against that.
Heart surgery?
Well, he'd be doing a better job than I am. I got a lung. There we go.
Aren't you supposed to be performing a heart transplant, though?
Yeah, but there's a lot of organs in the way, so we're just going to get rid of them. I really hate ironing, so... but do I really want to be loving Meatloaf in exchange for him doing the ironing? Yeah.
You really do hate ironing.
I hate ironing. I think it's one of the most pointless things a human being can do.
I'd have him do my garden.
Yeah, but bear in mind he'd be doing you in exchange.
No one says that love has to also include sex.
I'm fairly certain this is bodily love we're talking about.
No, he's got to respect the fact that I'm celibate.
Oh god. Alright, next question.
Okay, again, on a bit of a theme, but by approximately how many light years can the glory of love, my Peter Cetera, fuck off?
Many.
Not a song that invokes so much hatred.
Oh shit, I've dropped a scalpel into his stomach.
Well, it'll keep the pencil company. Well.
I've cut his esophagus. Excellent. I needed to do that. I think
there is blood spurting.
Yeah,
that's less good.
I'm going to keep going with the questions because you need to be distracted. What's the most you'd pay to go to a gig?
Gigs are really friggin' expensive these days. Back when I was a wee lad, I think the most I would have paid was probably about 15 quid, but I don't think 15 quid would get you in anywhere these days. Maybe 30? 50 if it was something I was really, really passionate about.
About 50?
50 if it was something I was really passionate about.
I think Brian Wilson, when he toured recently, it was £75. I have paid something similar to see Leonard Cohen. I know what the most I've ever paid for.
He's bleeding out. Carry on.
Should you not be saving his life?
I need to stop
him. A syringe is not going to help you right now.
Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I'm a doctor.
You've just stabbed him in the eye with a syringe.
And now he's not bleeding out. That's the logic of this game. Anyway, yes, you were telling us about Leonard Cohen.
Yes, Leonard Cohen was around about £75, but the most I've ever paid for a gig was to see Kate Bush.
Blimey. How much?
Over 100. And we were in the same postcode as her, which was good, I think. it's a lot more than £50, I think, for some bigger gigs these days.
Yeah, fortunately, a lot of the bands I'm interested in are actually quite small. Mm-hmm. Why is his heart not stopping beating? Oh, God, this is so much easier on PC. Anyway, yes, I'll have another question.
Okay, best opening line?
Half Man, Half Biscuit, National Shite Day. Pulling the ice axe from my leg, I stagger on, spindrift stinging my remaining eye. Absolutely stunning line. But yeah, there we go. Stab me in the face again. Next question.
What song has most strongly inspired a daydream, and what was the daydream?
Oh God, I can't really think of a particular song that's inspired a daydream necessarily.
The heart's gone, I think.
I've removed the old hearts. That's a good start. I will say that the first time I ever listened to Earth 2 by Earth, that had a really profound effect on me in a similar fashion, insofar as I lost all the sensation in my extremities. It's a very peculiar album insofar as it's pure drone. It's the second and third tracks of the three tracks are mostly just one note, literally just one note. And so that kind of led to an almost trance-like state more than a daydream. And there wasn't really about anything. It was more about me not knowing what was happening in my limbs anymore. The heart is in, you bastard! The heart is in! Come on! Live! Live! Maybe one more question while I try and get this heart in the right area.
Okay.
And maybe remove the pencil.
What's the best song for setting out on a road trip?
Oh... I would say something in the horse rock oeuvre. Horse rock is something that me and Rich Horton at Music Zone invented to describe the likes of Iron Maiden. Specifically a song that you would ride a horse into battle.
Right, okay.
Was listening to. So something like Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills, or probably Knights of Cydonia by Muse. Would be perfect examples of horse rock.
Yeah, well, I've often said that if a song has a beat to it that you can do a kind of tap on your leg horse hooves to, then generally it will be decent. I don't know if that's true all the time, but in fact it's probably true almost none of the time. But it's something that I spout in an attempt to like it.
That is the essence of horse rock.
I think for me, Regular John by Queens of the Stone Age would be a great song to kick off a road trip.
It's not on horse.
No.
It doesn't have to be metal, though. So, National Express by Divine Comedy. That has a horse hoof beat to
now
it.
Now, you see, horse comes in when it is a bit metal. If it's not metal, it's a bit more of a train music. Look, I'm trying to wrestle someone's heart. God! This is so frustrating. The heart is in... Well, it was in the right place. Now it's his, where his stomach used to
well,
be.
Well, his heart's in the
right place. Yay! I got a D. I'm going to take it.
You love the D.
I'm taking that D. I'm taking it. I'm taking it on. Right, so.
That was tense.
That was so tense. Right, so.
Is it my turn?
It is. So I've just moved it over to retry.
Okay.
And yeah, just give those a little bit of a riffle.
Yeah. So next time hey, you can perform a heart transplant or answer these questions whilst trying to escape from a locked bathroom.
Okay, the sheet's off.
Okay,
let's have the first
so
question.
We are away. If your music is described as challenging, does that mean it's shit?
Ooh.
And I would say that this is an interesting question.
Is it a challenging question?
For challenging, re-interesting, because that generally means shit as well, I think. Or often does.
I think if an album's described as challenging, that is really difficult.
I think you're having a challenging time there, aren't you, John?
Yes, I am. Because I haven't played this in as long as you.
He's got the saw now. He's sawing up the rib
cage. So come on, John, I'm going to have to push you.
So is challenging just a synonym for shit?
It certainly can be. I don't think it's true in all cases. So if it's not fun to listen to, it doesn't necessarily mean it's shit. It's just that you didn't like it.
But then would it be challenging? I don't know. It would just be unenjoyable. I don't know.
I think some people get the two confused.
Yeah.
Anyway, next question.
Is there a visual element to the way you create and or listen to music?
I think there can be, certainly. I know when I listen to albums sometimes...
Ooh.
That didn't look good.
That was right in his stomach wall.
Yeah. He is bleeding out.
He is thoroughly bleeding out.
I'm just too scared to let go of the saw.
He continues to bleed out at quite a rapid rate here. So
yeah. It is quite rapid, isn't it?
I feel like I should be doing some kind of Henry Blofeld test match special commentary on this operation.
I'll cover that bit.
Yeah, okay.
John is now reaching for the green syringe to try and stop the bleeding.
And
he has it. He has a syringe.
Simultaneously struggling to answer the question. That's it. You've
mostly staunched the bleeding.
Yeah, I've stabilised it.
Now, to the question.
To the question, which I can't even remember now.
The visual aspects to listening or creating music.
Yes, I quite often listen to albums, and I do often find myself... Oh, shit.
No, the syringe kind of went out a bit of a spasm there, but it's on the table now.
I do often find myself... the next time I listen to it, I often find myself visualising where I was when I first heard it.
That's interesting.
So sometimes the visual aspect to an album is comes in later than when I first listened to it.
Right. You're having some trouble with those ribs, though, yes. Right? Oh, bleeding.
Those pesky lungs getting in the way of your...
Ask him another question
before this ends quite quickly. How artistically valid are musicals as a genre?
Oh, I hate musicals. I really, really hate musicals.
This is difficult. I don't know where that question came from. See, I love musicals.
Yeah.
And I know that they invoke love or hatred.
I know that the person who actually posed that question is my wife Laura, who also loves musicals.
Right.
And knows that I am slightly more sneery of them. Well, I don't hate them, although there are certain ones that I do hate. But I don't love them anywhere near as she does. Just throw that coffee cup away. There we go.
But I think they're incredibly valid, even whether you like them or not. Surely.
But what does John think while he's trying to pick?
We don't care what Mike or I think.
Yeah,
who cares what we think?
Come on, John. While he's trying to pick up that circular saw again. Oh, he's lost the circular saw.
Oh
no! He's gonna have to try the drill.
What fresh bullshit is this?
So, musicals, are they a valid form of artistic?
It's difficult for me to divorce my personal feelings about musicals.
Oh, your personal feelings about musicals are just like a drill bit in that guy's esophagus. Let's go for another question.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the best use of an existing song in a video game?
Ooh. Now, Mike's probably going to disagree with me on this, but...
That's interesting, already.
Oh, no.
They got a dancing drill in that guy's...
The drill's gone.
The drill has gone. So what's the song, John? What am I going to disagree with?
I think, is it called Way to Fall? It was at the end of Metal Gear Solid 3. Oh. And it's a song by Star Sailor.
Oh.
And I can remember Mike texting me after he'd just completed Metal Gear Solid 3 going, "Fucking Star Sailor!"
Star Sailor bore the arse off me.
I'm not a fan of Star Sailor, but for the end of the game, it was a really good way to end it. I thought the song actually seemed to be quite appropriate.
Oh, he's got the drill again. He's got the drill. He's holding it by his pinky fingers. He's hitting the lump. Quick, another question before the guy dies.
What's your favourite key change in music?
Oh man,
it's bound to be a Christmas song. They have the best key changes.
Oh god, all the drugs in the lungs. There's blood everywhere.
If you don't get that syringe pretty quickly. Come on, what's the best key change in music?
Best key change? I don't know. Fuck.
The guy's still bleeding out, but much more slowly now.
Oh, they're stopped.
We've balanced it. And I think the drill's gone again.
He has slightly less blood in his system now than the average cockroach.
Yes.
There's actually more blood on John's virtual arm than in the guy's body. Well, yes, key change, John. We're going to have to force you for an answer, John.
I can't think of any songs with key changes.
Next question.
When is music, and this is bunny ears, when is music a composition?
When someone has bunny ears composed it.
I'm going to allow it. Oh, he's trying to wrench a long out. Next question.
If you could only listen to music from one country ever again, which one would it be?
Ireland.
Ah, interesting. Cathy Davey again.
Cathy Davey, Gemma Hayes, Lisa Hannigan,
Westlife, you know, those kind of things. Yeah. Daniel O'Donnell.
Daniel in blue jeans gets me every time.
There are some great Irish bands out there.
Truly those.
The Hitch is one of my favourite bands ever.
Next question.
Why does Walk of Life by Dire Straits appear to get my cat aroused? No idea who sent that question in, but I want to meet your cat.
I know the person and I know the cat involved.
Right, okay. I want to meet the cat, but I don't want to meet it when Dire Straits is there.
So, John, why do you think Dire Straits might arouse a cat? Stop playing with your lungs and answer the question.
Well, why wouldn't you be aroused by some smooth, tuneless singing and guitar stylings? Is my question.
You're answering the question with a question. I like your style. Okay. Next question.
Next one, and I suspect that we'll be on different ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
So, what's best? Songs under 2 minutes long or songs over 7 minutes long?
Ooh.
And I know where I stand, and I suspect you're at the other end.
We'll see. We'll see what John says, first of all, while he's trying to sever this person's esophagus. Badly.
I've,
It's like watching a rubber chicken with a scalpel.
It's like watching somebody rub a chicken.
With a scalpel.
John, put the chicken down and answer the question. Songs under 2 minutes, songs over 7 minutes.
I think songs over 7 minutes, on the proviso that plenty is happening in those 7 minutes to make it feel like several different songs. If it's the same fucking thing for 7 fucking minutes.
And he's out of there!
He is one dead mother.
Oh.
And it was going so well. Brutal Murder achieved in a mere 9 minutes and 58.996 seconds.
So almost 10 minutes of surgery there.
And I think we got through many fewer questions with John than we did with mine.
Because the problem is that I have a propensity to sound like William Shatner undergoing a head injury.
Let's stay on that last question there, because what was your answer going to be?
Well, I think that if you generally... So, a genre of music that I struggle with and I know that, again, it's something you've mentioned in a previous episode, Prague.
Mm.
I struggle with it because I just generally think that if you can't do the job in 5 minutes, then you need to get out of there, generally speaking.
So you're more the 2 minutes, aren't you?
I would say generally 3 minutes, but if it as a straight choice, I think 2 minutes as opposed to seven.
What you're... I understand.
And I think it's hard I understand, to do it in 2 minutes.
I understand where you're coming from there, why you expect me to do it on the scale. What you're forgetting is, during my Fantasy Five band, my oeuvre was very much the fem punk, the
2 minute
Riot Girl
songs, yeah.
I am all about the short songs. Yeah. I love
I think it's hard. Tight... It's harder to do it. It's
Erasurata, one of the bands I've wanked on about the most during this whole podcast thing. A lot of their songs are really down at that tight end of barely even 2 minutes. Yeah, you know, on 3 minutes at a stretch. I think it was only around about the point of their third album they actually recorded a song that was over 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So I love the short songs.
I just assumed, maybe incorrectly then, because the album that you gave me a few weeks ago to listen to, Richard Dawson, has four songs on it.
Not a single one of them.
The shortest is an instrumental at 4:40. The longest is 15 minutes plus. Yeah.
And also the last song I gave John was Noi. By the way, I get some massive bleeding songs on that. So, and even the first one I gave you had a 12-minute song right in the middle. That the Of Montreal.
And actually there's another album that you give me that I've listened to which features at least three songs that go over 8 minutes.
So I'm certainly not shy of the long song. See, if I do, I've got at least four or five albums that are just one track.
Yeah.
You know, and are a full hour long.
I mean,
but my heart is very much in the punk area,
and
I like the short and choppy, rough and ready tunes.
I mean, now I'm not got the pressure of a bleeding man dying.
let's power down the poor old PlayStation in the sack.
I would edge more towards a shorter song than a long, because this Queens of the Stone Age, there's a lot of stuff that I'm doing at the moment where I've actually managed to get all my songs down to around about the 3 minutes mark, and I'm actually really proud of the fact I managed to do that.
I bet there is a great deal of satisfaction in really just tightening it up.
Yeah.
And then when I write a nugget
draft
of a song.
And redraft it.
Yeah.
I think if there's a novel and it's 1,000 pages long, it's got to be worth ploughing through that to get there. Generally speaking, something around about 400 pages, that's going to do most of us, and I think the same thing applies with music.
I think you're absolutely right.
And it's like what we were talking last week about double albums being too long, and it sometimes they're quite difficult to work through. It's a similar thing again.
Paring down is an art in itself. Wow. Anyway, let's hit this thing quickly.
Can I not just hit it slowly?
Hit it.
Right. Okay.
Three times out of four, you've hit the wrong pissing button. Anyway, because I mentioned my Fantasy Five earlier, that made me remember the entire purpose of this episode, which was to talk to. It wasn't just to get our guest in to reach into John's hat and to pull out some daft questions I got off Facebook. We haven't talked about the beer either.
No, we have.
We have talked about the beer.
Yeah. I was about to say, it's been so long since we actually talked about what we were going to be doing that we did talk about the beer at the start of the whole thing.
You did, didn't we? Great. Yeah. Anyway, yes. Gary is here. Gary is here. He's here.
Hello, Gary.
I'm here. Hello.
He's here right here.
Hello, Mike. He's talking. Hello, John.
Hello.
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 He's here to talk to us about his Fantasy Five band.
I am.
You are and all.
This was really difficult.
It's not easy, is it? I mean, we make it look easy because we're so fucking professional. But
that's it. I didn't want to let you down.
Bless you.
No, I found it really, really difficult.
It's as hard as getting out of John's toilet.
Harder even, I think. Yeah.
But so yeah, where do you want to start with this? We went with the format of singer, guitarist, bassist, drummer, plus one other mysterious fifth member who could be anything.
Fifth member.
Wider than a mile. Which, did you follow a similar...
Yes and no. I've got three singers who are in there as instrumentalists, but would all kind of share... vocal duties. So
we
it's,
like shared vocal duties.
That very much falls in line with Nightmares on Land.
And also with Rolling Boyle as well, because I had my Axis of Evil down at the front giving it German, Japanese and Italian vocals.
Yeah.
So I think it's acoustic guitar, electric guitar, piano, bass and drums.
I'm going to allow this.
Right. Is that okay?
I'm perfectly happy with this arrangement.
Okay. All right.
So you pick your first member to tell us about.
So I suppose start at the back. Well, not that they need to be at the back, but drums, then it would be Glenn Kutchka from Wilco.
Ooh.
Now, I like Wilco, but I'm certainly not an aficionado of their music. But
neither am I, in fairness. I've dabbled.
So a few weeks ago, we talked about a gig that I went to in Amsterdam to see Andrew Bird.
Yes.
Yes.
And Neil Finn was there with his Love Unlimited Orchestra, or whatever it's called, Unlimited Orchestra. Glenn Kutchka is the drummer. He's the other kind of, I say the other member, there's about 12 of them, but he's the other member that anyone will have heard of. But earlier in the evening, there was this show where I went to see Marimba Quartet, and also there were two drum kits, and they had dueling drums. And it
Half
was.
Half erect already.
It was an hour of. So half an hour was Marimba, and half an hour were two drum kits kind of playing off against each other. It should not have worked in many ways.
Yeah.
And I was there with my wife, and I was there with. Jack Tasker and his wife, and yes. We were all just mesmerised by this thing. And he is one hell of a drummer.
Yeah.
And he plays it musically. And up to a point, I was going to have Tyler Stewart from Bare Naked Ladies, but
I was just thinking about.
And
Tyler's,
there's a reason why I didn't, and that's because another member of Bare Naked Ladies is in this lineup.
Ooh, spoiler alert!
So I didn't want to. Just have my Fantasy Five being
Bare Naked Ladies.
I had a similar issue with Eraser Arms, except I would have run out of members by the third. Even if I'd brought back Sarah Jaffe, it would have been four members plus no one.
Yeah.
Tyler Stewart is amazing, though.
He's incredible, and what he does and what Glenn Kutchka do is that they play the drums that are sympathetic to what is going on in the song. So
I get a sympathetic drum.
I like that. There's Bare Naked Ladies, for instance. There's a song, The Old Apartment, and where it talks about knocking on a door, and it's just very timely. Just does something very simple that sounds like a door knocker on the drums.
Do you want to talk about any other musicians you didn't choose?
Yes.
Well, I was led on by this bastard.
Yes,
I missed a tangent.
Neither did.
Dear old bloody day.
John Grant, who was in for a long time.
Oh, really?
My wife is not speaking to me at the moment because I've decided not to choose him. But
whoa, you've discussed the content of our podcast? With another person? That's literally doubled our listenership already.
Yeah.
Woo! On a roll!
She kind of dropped me off here today and just said, if you don't choose John Grant, don't bother coming back.
John Grant is amazing, though.
He's
Hello,
incredible.
Anne. We'll look after him for you.
We'll just lock him in the
pod. They're going to lock him in the toilet.
slide an oatcake under the door.
Yes, they are feeding me, but only things that are less than 3 millimetres thick.
Should we have your second member?
Yes, I'll go to bass player, which is Jim Cregan of Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, yes.
An amazing, a proper muso, I suppose, when it comes to bass. He is a phenomenal player and plays double bass, he plays electric double bass, he plays regular bass guitar. And is phenomenal on all of them, and just does really interesting things. You know, there are no. I don't think he's ever seen a root note on the bass guitar. The bass guitar, I'll be honest. He's.
I'm laughing because I understood that.
Who would have thought there'd be bass-related jokes on this podcast?
Well, I mean, there's lots of bass humour on this podcast.
I could tell you a quick story about bass. So my brother, years and years and years ago, when he was working at a job at a local pottery, somebody spoke to him after he'd been there a few days and came up to him and said, "Are you a bassist?"
Mm.
And he said, Yeah, yeah, I am. How do you know? He said, oh, I can always tell. He said, I just knew I think we're going to get on really well. Obviously, as time progressed, it became apparent that what he'd actually said was, are you a racist?
God.
He had some very difficult backpedalling to do. And I don't know what he'd seen in him that made him think one thing or the other. But anyway,
I've got no intention of going on and talking about the darkies or something.
I thought we were going to get to the end of an episode without the Geordie accent, but no.
No.
What do you think of them pools?
I'm going to belt you with these. I've got so many empty bottles right here. I'm going to belt you with all of them. There's going to be shards of glass in your
before I have to break the two of you up. Should I move on to another?
Yeah, I think you
another
should.
Member, so to speak. piano mentioned it earlier in this episode. Like Kate piano? Bush.
Why not? Why not Kate Bush?
Because and it was going to be John Grant, but I just thought, I've been a huge fan of Kate Bush's music for all of my life, it seems.
She's a special kind of lady. I mean, obviously, I kind of mentioned her during my Tori Amos witterings a few episodes back, because Kate Bush, clearly an inspiration for Kate Bush. The similarities are definitely there. But yeah, you can't help, even if you don't necessarily like her music, you can't help but respect her.
Yeah.
For just
her place in.
In the rock pantheon.
Yes. Yeah, and I think she's
and how young she was when she first wrote her first music. Yeah,
16, 17, when she was writing those first songs, The Man with the Child in His Eyes. And
which is a terrifying song title if you take it literally.
Yeah.
I heard a really amusing story about Kate Bush in that she was in the middle of this long sort of lull between releasing anything. And an A&R man from the record...
I do believe this is my favourite Kate Bush story.
Yeah, the record company discovered that she was still on their books. And so they sent an A&R man round to this... I think it was a cottage or something somewhere. And guy knocks on. He's like, hi, I'm from the record label and we're just wondering what you're up to. And so she invited him in, sat him down, made him a cup of tea and she gave him some, I think, biscuits or cakes that she'd made. And he'd go, these are really nice, So what have you been up to? Gestures at the cakes.
And so I believe that the story was she actually invited the A&R man around to see what she'd been working on.
Yes.
And the whole thing was a big prank. Like, here's some cake. but I love that. Whichever version of the events is true, if any of them, it's such a lovely story. But there's Kate Bush with all of these lovely cakes.
I love the idea that he then went back and said, well, she's been making cakes and nothing else happened after that.
Except for Great British Bake Off. You see? Way ahead of time. All the way through her career, Kate Bush was ahead of the game.
Wake up, sheeple.
So, to Kate Bush.
Yeah, so she would be one third of my vocal triumvirate.
Of course, she's got a cracking voice.
She has. So the other two would be two guitarists, so I'll go with the electric guitarist first, which would be Holly Ross from The Lovely Eggs.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know how well you know The Lovely Eggs.
I'm aware of The Lovely Eggs. I've got a mate who's a massive fan of The Lovely
Eggs. I'm a huge fan. I've seen them live a few times. They are brilliant. So they're a husband and wife duo.
Right.
And they have some of the best song titles ever.
I think I can challenge that.
I just said some. I didn't say the best. And also some great lyrics and some good videos. So yeah. John Shuttleworth appeared in one of their videos. So one of their songs is "Look at Him with His Sausage Roll Thumb." is a lyric from one of their songs. The song's called "Don't Look at Me, I Don't Like It," and. some of the others, Have You Ever Heard a Digital Accordion? Is another song of theirs. So they're a really, really good band. And she was formerly the guitarist in a band called Angelica. A few years ago, which were all girl kind of indie punk band.
So I'm aware of Angelica.
Didn't used to live in my house though.
Yeah. That whole Emma Cooper thing. I'm actually slightly better about that.
We discovered that one of Mike's favourite musicians used to live in the house share with me for about a year.
Really?
Yeah. Emma Cooper of Standard Fare.
Is this her?
Yeah.
Fucking
hell. So weird.
But Lovely Eggs are brilliant. So good.
That's a great name for a group as well.
Yes.
I love the word egg. So
yeah. Egg is a great word. Egg
as a word has enormous beauty, I think.
Mm, yeah.
And then, so the final part on acoustic guitar and vocals would be Colin Molloy from The Decemberists.
Choice.
Hey.
Colin Molloy, who I'm still actually almost angry at myself, and you, John, that neither one of us picked a Decemberists album to go into our own personal post-millennial top 100.
Yes.
Because they are wonderful.
If we were doing a post-millennial top 100, Decemberists would certainly be in there, but we were doing five.
Yeah, but you know, contributing to the top 100, John. But yes, tell us about why you chose Colin Molloy, because
huge Decemberists fan, and I know that some of they're an influence on some of my songwriting. So songs like Eli the Barrow Boy in particular influence some of the songs I've written in the kind of folkier genre.
Yeah.
But one of the best gigs I've ever been to see is Decemberists. I know I've talked about how I've been to see some of the artists that have influenced me throughout my life. So people like Leonard Cohen, people like Kate Bush. Actually, one of the best gigs I've ever been to, ever,
they
were
do
the
a
Decemberists. And
what tour was it?
It was not the one that they've just done, so not the What a Wonderful World tour. It was the tour for The King Is Dead.
I saw them on that tour.
Yeah, in Manchester, I think. And they were incredible. And the support.
We were both at the same gig. My God, lols.
I know. We went to Birmingham.
Yeah. But so good. Especially good because I didn't know they were touring, and my wife got me a ticket for a Christmas present, and it was the best Christmas present ever.
There's something about Colin Molloy that I just really enjoy about him, and it's the fact that whenever he's on stage, he always seems just so wryly amused by everything. it's a wonderful quality.
Wry amusement is a wonderful quality in any human being. He has a wonderful voice. His actual singing voice is incredible. Yeah. It has so much character.
It's not
absolutely perfect. No. It's unconventionally beautiful.
And that is in many ways the best kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
Certainly when we're talking about vocalising, because we always end up bringing it back to Bright Eyes, don't we?
Yeah.
At some point in any kind of recording session, Bright Eyes will get mentioned.
He's kind of like he's like the podcast Hitler of the internet. Everything leads back to Hitler.
I think you're thinking of Van Morrison.
Yeah. I was going to say, I can start a drinking game around your podcast very soon. I'll have a list with Van Morrison, Bright Eyes and Geordie Accent. I'm going to get absolutely shit-faced one week playing.
I don't know what you're talking about, son. We've got some kind of problem with Van Morrison. You stick the pennies in the jazz meter for a bit of Babylon Zoo.
So from the acoustic guitar point of view, desperately raining it.
Colin Molloy, nobody's made in a desperate raining. What's happened?
Colin Molloy really rocks a good bouzouki as well.
He does. He does. He does.
Oh,
unexpected sentences.
Oh. Middle class status update of the year awards.
As soon as you get to the Crane Wife trilogy, because on the King Is Dead tour they actually did the Crane Wife 1, 2, and 3.
One
go.
Nice.
And there's at least one part of that where Colin Molloy is playing the bouzouki.
Mm.
And not many people can play a bouzouki and make it look rock.
No.
He manages it.
He does. He does. And I think they are a band who you don't really know what's coming next with them. Then that's I like that.
I will point out that the old school Rebetica
players in Greece would play Bouzouki, I would rock your arse off. Yeah. Those guys were hardcore.
Is that a threat or a
promise? Both.
So I'll make a change then. So I'll just have one guitarist and Colin Molloy on Bouzouki. If I'm the only person who chooses a Bouzouki player in my Fantasy Five, then I am happy.
Awesome. So, John, I do believe we normally have this little thing that we spring on our guest.
Yes.
But he might already been aware of it. A secret sixth member who would guest for just one recording.
If you had a guest, who would it be?
Right, who...
That was so creepy.
As I struggled to get this to five, and it started off with a long list of about 200 and got whittled down, I did end up with six.
Yes.
So I know who the other one... It would be a multi-instrumentalist. And another singer.
Lord.
So this guy plays the banjo. He plays the accordion.
Nice.
And he plays guitar.
All at once.
And piano. It would be Franz Nicolai, who is predominantly a solo artist. He was for a number of years in the Hold Steady, but I've never really listened to their music particularly. It's his solo music that I love, and I've seen him live a couple of times. It's when I went to see Chris TT play, and Chris TT, I'm a huge fan of his, and Franz Nicolai was on the tour with him. Really, really great player and great songwriter. Again, incredibly literary songwriter and has written books as well. And so his songs are true vignettes a lot of the time. Well worth listening.
We like a vignette, don't you?
I love vignettes. I was just about to say that.
Yeah, that's cold with the little chocolate bits. Yeah. Beautiful.
It's great. And the noise it makes when you make the slices.
It's amazing.
I don't really know where to go.
I'll go through the door. Escape while you can. Yes,
I really
why
should.
Don't you relax after a meal with a Wolves vignette?
I mean, I thought you missed the obvious joke about vinaigrettes, but maybe that's for a future episode.
Sure.
I think everything's collapsed around about now. I'm going to take the moment, while John pisses himself laughing, I'm going to take the moment to thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
For turning up these last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been
helping me get out of the bog.
An absolute pleasure.
Yes.
Maybe I'll come again, but not until you fix the bathroom.
We will be delighted to have you back.
Yes, it's been very pleasant.
It's been a pleasure to sit here with you. Less of a pleasure to have a piss with the door wide open.
Yeah. with my bleeding knuckles in the distance.
But people at home, we thank you for listening.
Mm.
If you were, I don't know.
Assuming you've not zoned out while making the dinner. You've zoned out while making the dinner, haven't you?
The chips are done! Alright, well, thanks for listening, and here's the final sting.
You've been listening to All Yesterday's Parties. The music is by Attack of the Vapors. The podcast is hosted by Audio Boom. Have you had a good time, Gary?
Yes, I have. Now take the screws out of my hand.